Hey guys, what's up? This is Crystal Amar, and you are listening to Crystal on the Beat Hip Hop Podcast. Stay tuned for some really great interviews with golden era hip hop celebs, as well as some really amazing up and coming hip hop artists. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, what's up? I'm Crystal Amar, and this is Crystal on the Beat. Tonight's featured guest is a producer out of New York. It's Deep of Two Hungry Bros. How you doing, man?
I'm alive, still.
That's good. So why don't you take a minute and tell us about where you're from and how your music style developed?
I'm from the Lower East Side of New York City, born and raised, residing in Bushwick now, but I came up, I guess, the early 80s in New York. Everything was very eclectic. Being from the Lower East Side, it was the melting pot of the New York City. It was like the party area. And like, I mean, my dad would bounce for like some private parties, and sometimes he would bring me along, and I got to hear a lot of DJs, you know, spinning all kinds of what we now call open format mixing, and done really well, and it was just very, you know, ear opening instead of eye opening.
Nice.
That definitely influenced me a lot. Just the whole, I mean, even the sound of the radio in the 80s and 90s, our urban stations were technically very mixed with all kinds of music, and it wasn't just like rap playing on one station. It was, you know, you had freestyle, you had house, you had some hip-hop that was emerging, R&B, and we got a mix of everything. And that's the way I just try to keep my style. In the 80s, I mean, everybody listened to everything, and even in the 90s. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to hear, you know, to be young and influenced when the grunge era came about, when goth was hot. I love The Cure.
Me too.
I love Portishead. You know what I'm saying? So, my dad was into rock and Black Sabbath. So, a lot of people say my style of beats was very moody, or it had a feel to it, as opposed to being a very open cipher kind of sound where it's just a beat, a sample, and a loop. But I usually have to be pretty I have to be moved to make beats. Like sometimes if I'm in DJ mode, because I do DJ as well, and I've been doing a lot of gigs, I won't make any beats
right for
that like period of time. And during the pandemic, I was able, nobody was DJing, so I got to be pretty creative and make a bunch of joints towards the end of it. So that's it. So I would say, I try to keep a very up-tempo pace unless I'm feeling very moody. And a lot of the joints that, like, Two Hungry Bros really got popping with were, like Homeboy Sandman's The Carpenter, like, blew up. And it has, like, a 120-plus BPM. It's 125. And,
right.
And that was, like, you know, that's, like, the house pace. And it just got everybody going. The B-Boys went at it. And a lot of our stuff is, I find that a lot of our stuff is getting harder to place now because people are so into the slow 70, 60, maybe a low end 80 BPM type of, and the DJs are telling me, you got anything slower? And I'm like, I do, but it's not the record that I like. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's pretty much where I'm at right now. We just released a compilation with my label, I Had an Accident Records. I call What Your Dad Listens To, because I'm a dad.
Right.
and I also understand that the kids don't listen to this style of hip hop anymore, and I'm fine with that, because I mean, I'm not going to do what they do because I'm not them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I wanted to know, what kind of equipment did you start on?
Oh, okay. I started I was trained in on the MPC 2000.
Okay.
By Fred Ones and my boy EQ, and then my boy Hav. A lot of it started off, you know, the kid. So in New York City, you know, if you're listening and you're not from New York, we have project buildings, or we have like subsidized co-ops, and the buildings are real close to each other. So you know people from the next building. And I was a kid who always had a lot of records, grooves and whatnot. And then I found out that this cat from the next building had an SP-1200, and then he ended up getting an MPC. And I thought, yo, I got records. Let me bring him over and let's see what we can do. So that was Hob. I grew up with him, and he showed me some stuff. And it just kept me being hopping on people's machines because I had a whole bunch of ill records. And then Ben Boogs of Two Hungry Bros finally bought an MPC 2000, and we took it from there. Eventually, my wife, she was my fiance. Oh, she wasn't my fiance. When she was still my girlfriend, she bought me an MPC 4000, and that's what I've been rocking with since 2005.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool.
I don't have any DAW. I don't have any like DAWs. I'm still a caveman with it, you know. I like my sound, you know. I don't conform.
Right, I know that about you. So, what have you been up to since we did our last feature?
Oh, so since we did our last feature, it was mostly about the beat albums, and I wasn't like I like doing beat albums because it's just me, you know what I mean? And Damien from the record label, he's like, you know, why don't you do a compilation with some MCs, and I'll put it out. I'll put it out on mine. I'll press it up. Just do it. It'll be a deep album. And I'm like, really? All right. And I had this whole like intimidation about going and having to chase people down, but it came out well. And then I made some new connections. Like I started working with this cat FU, and we have a whole side album project. The kid Garcia Vega, another nice album coming out with him. And also, I have another, the Breeze Ever Flowing joint that we put out, we expanded on it because it released right when the pandemic hit, and it just didn't pop because of all this. And so we put extra tracks on it, and we're going to re-release it. We never released it digitally, so he held on to it until this kind of subsided, and thus it's getting released. It's getting released soon, and we have new tracks on that. So yeah, I mean, I've been busy and I've been working with people again. So it's not like, I'm not like the old dad hermit,
right?
Hip hop hermit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been doing shows and yeah, with Alaska Cryptic. It's been fun, and I'm back at Beer Wax, DJing a bit, getting more gigs, and they have two locations now after the pandemic, which is nice. So I get to be at both of them. Show my face and spin out my sound.
That's cool. I have a question.
Yeah.
So the track that you just put out, the one What Dad Listens To, that features Cryptic One.
No. What Dad Listens To is the name of the album. Ugly Buck. Ugly Buck is the name of the track.
It came through as like the whole word together. Sorry about that. So Ugly Buck then features Cryptic One. How did you guys hook up? Do you like live near each other?
Okay, so for this album, I went back to a lot of the OGs that I was cool with in 1999 and 2000. And then in 1999, 2000, I did work with Cryptic One. We did a song together on this compilation that I produced called Johnny 23 Presents Old Trolls New Bridge. It's one of those real New York type of joints from the underground, and a lot of the heads who knew about the NYC underground, the New Eurekan era, a lot of cats, and there's some, a lot of cats in Cali who know about it. That really surprised me. But Crip, I knew Crip for like dang near over 20 years. So he hit me up, with him and Alaska, the Adams family, they hit me up to do a 90s Now event back before the pandemic started in 2019. And then I did the event with them. And then they was like, yo, you ever want to do any tracks together? So hit us with the beats. And I did. And I sent them a bunch of joints and they were working on it. But then they got caught up in things. But they're like, yo, we did some tracks here. Boom. And that's how I got. So I've known them for a while. It's definitely like a lot of people that are on that album I've known for 20 plus years.
Right.
After the album, I've known these guys for 20 plus years. And that's wild. That's like a whole lifetime. That's like past angry teenager of a person. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
I've featured him a couple times, actually. And he's like one of my favorites that I've featured.
He's super dope. I mean,
I know.
He's amazing. Just his style of production. Like, he's tuned into all the technology and the stuff he bangs out. I mean, it can be intimidating at times. You send a producer like that who also raps, but also is on par with their production. But he's so cool, man. That guy is so cool. And he didn't make me feel small at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he's definitely a cool guy. I like him. So we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to listen to Ugly Buck. So we'll be right back.
Cool.
So. Yo.
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 Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo. Yo. Let's head first into the deep waters. Went from seat warmer to barring with stars on street corners. Hated the spotlight, but slid right through the stoplights. No room for off nights in this dog fight. Circadian rhythm got disrupted by this world as it twirls. The oysters got corrupted by their pearls. Sure as a dust on the needle of my phonograph. These sunny days are always bound to turn to overcast. Expressionless, like Commander's Cobra Mask. Can't complete the battle if these cats don't even know the half. Half of y'all are no reporter, for what it's worth. Go ahead and do the math, and make sure you show your worth. Yeah, I can be a jerk, but still I'm friendly. Yeah, I know my worth, and it's more than your pretty pennies. I'd much rather get an ugly buck or 2 mil, cause that's the going rate for true skill.
Skill, 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 skill.
The literature, see Crippa give a little bit more. As sure as that Icarus sword, too close to some solar flares. As sure as our eviction of those polar bears. As sure as the royal guard's coldest stares. As sure as the lack of care from old white billionaires. Crip phone spit into the spit tune from across the saloon. Accurate, perfect mix of weirdo, smart ass, and an activist. Earned a silver spoon in my mouth, but with an asterisk after it. Yeah, I can be a jerk, but still friendly. Plus, I know my worth, and it's more than your pretty pennies. I'd much rather get an ugly buck or 2 mil, cause that's the going rate for true skills.
Trying to make a dollar out of 15.
All right, guys, so that was Ugly Buck featuring Cryptic One. You know, that beat really bumps. I was really drawn to it when I first started listening to it. It came out so well. And, you know, having Cryptic on there is just like the icing on the cake. When you send me the link.
It was a way to get in the door with you, Cryptic.
When you sent me the link, I was like, wait, did he really just send me a link of his beat with Cryptic on it? I was like, that is amazing. So, yeah, I definitely was excited about that. So, what's going on now? What do you, like, have coming up? Are you still doing the podcast?
No, I haven't been doing the radio station, BSB, the guy ended up, the owner bought a house, and he had to do mortgage and had to worry about, you know, his personal stuff, he said. So, he shut down the station. So, now it's just been me DJing at Beer Wax like once or twice a month, and then doing a lot of family things and working out, and you know, organizing like features for like the FU album that I'm doing. We got some features on there. It's gonna be pretty fun. Like I always wanted to do an album with a fellow Latino who had like that tough style of talk, like the Beatnuts did. You know what I mean? That in your face, F you kind of thing. So and,
right.
and it's really fun. And he's a very visual writer. And that's one of my, perks or pet peeves when I hear MCs who don't add visual elements to their lyrics and it's just like abstract or like, you know, it's words that don't appeal to the five senses. But I have a degree in English and stuff, so I'm always listening to things. And him, like the song on FU song on my album is so visual, and I was so happy, you know, after hearing it, I was like, yo, we got to keep going. He was like, yeah, I'm down with it. And another thing with Breeze Ever Flowing, he would always do the stuff with comic books on my beats, and that's just another thing I love. So, I mean, I'm pretty busy, I guess.
That's cool. Do you have any shows coming up?
Yes. September 15th at Beer Wax. I keep plugging those guys.
But,
you know, because they so Chris Maestro is the owner of Beer Wax. Other than being a bar that sells beer, and now they also have the one in Queens that sells full, like, crazy mixology drinks. Other than that, like, it strives to be a cultural hub, and they do these events with that also feature painting, art paintings, and just everything that pertains to hip hop as the culture, New York hip hop, any hip hop. And so I got to plug it in because we're really trying to keep the New York hip hop culture alive.
Right.
You know? And when somebody, you know, invests their places, their venues to do this, you got to pop for it. And that's what I do. So 90s Now, which is Cryptic and Alaska's and Pays Infinite's event. I'm going to be DJing, and they're going to have Jazzoon on the, he's one of the featured producers. And it's an event where you can just, like, all these producers come and they rock out, and then MCs can come and get on the mic if they feel like it.
All right. That sounds so cool, and I'm so far away, so I don't get to go. But it sounds like a really fun time.
Yeah, and so. I think these are ginger hibiscus drinks that I can drink. Cause so the one in Brooklyn is a beer wax, so I can't drink beer because I have celiac. But then now they started making these drinks, these ginger hibiscus drinks. And they're so good on your tummy.
Oh, nice. That's good. So, speaking of, you know, keeping New York style of hip-hop and the culture alive. Oh, do you need a minute? Somebody walking by with a baby? All right, guys. Somebody's walking by with a baby. We're doing this from the park. Okay. So, what I was going to say was...
in the park.
Perfect.
Very New York.
So, yeah, what do you think about, like, what's going on with the division between, like, in hip-hop now that just didn't really exist back in the day? Like, back in the day, it was more of a community, and now it's, like, us versus them. Like, what do you think about that?
I think there's... I'm going to pan out, as opposed to this zoomed-in microcosm of a conversation. I'm going to say... there's a lot of division being implanted in all sorts of cultures and all sorts of people. And the thing about... So, for instance, the Marvel Universe, right? They just released the She-Hulk series. And there's so many... So, you got comic book fans like, oh, my God, it's so anti-man. It's so pro-feminism. And... the way that people polarize themselves, it's very base. And so I try, you know, I just enjoy the art for what it is. And I feel that people are trying to derive meanings from external sources. And when they fail to get that meaning, they get disappointed. Or when they fail to hear what they think is true, they get really mad. So in terms of hip hop, and I'm gonna say what I said before, I'm 40 plus. I'm 43. I turned 43 on August 6th, and I'm not gonna do what the kids are doing, but I'm not gonna like bother them and say, "Hey, kid, you sound like a moron." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also understand that I feel like there is an agenda of sorts to misrepresent people of color from an anthropological perspective. For instance, when we dig up bones and pottery and art, we define people by their culture and by the art they bring to it. And so we, you know, when you hear the music that's being pushed out there, and let's say you've never met a person of color in your life, and then you hear, oh man, this is all about sex, like over or hypersexualized. It's only about drugs. It's about disrespect. And then you end up seeing a person of color. You kind of, you've been conditioned to treat this person according to their art, quote unquote.
Right.
I did air quotes. Then that's when you start disrespecting them, and then they start treating you accordingly because they feel disrespected. But that, I feel like that's the general agenda, to rationalize the sort of genocidal, or let's send all these people to jail so they can work in the prisons and we can get off free labor type of thing going on. And that's really what's been going on. But I think in the new music, because I mean, you don't, even with R&B, there's not songs, and I forgot, there was a meme going around with this, I forgot which singer it was, where he was saying, I forgot one of them, but a song about I love you, or like, you know, love, is not sung by people of color. It'll be a song about cheating, having mad girls, or something wrong happening as opposed to something right. And like I said, so the message being sent out from an anthropological perspective is very negative, and it feels like there's an agenda behind it. I'm not saying there is, because I don't have any concrete proof, but that's the instinct that I get. So for me, I'm just trying to put out what I feel is true, what I feel, and that's all I can do. And if someone wants to hear that, cool. And if someone doesn't feel that's true, that's fine with me as well. If someone disagrees with it, cool. That's art. You know what I mean? You don't have to look at Banksy's art. You don't have to look at Lee's art. You don't have to look at Scene's art. You know, some people might think Keith Harrington, right? I mean, people might think graffiti is trash, and then they want to look at Monet.
Right.
It's interpretation. You don't have to be polarized to anything. So that's my answer on that. You know, the division happens because people are seeking out truth, and they fail to find it in themselves.
Right. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, everything that you just said, and it brings a different perspective.
I'm not just an old man saying crazy stuff.
Well, it sounds a little bit conspiracy theory-ish, but it does make a lot of sense. So you teetered on the conspiracy theory.
Just reflect on it, folks. Like, yeah, so, you know, when you hear, like, the country music station, you hear the pop station, you hear love songs, you hear things about relationships, but you won't hear bad things about relationships. And then you're like, oh, look at these folks. They're nice. They're happy. They're cool. We're going to treat them accordingly. Okay, why don't we have house music? House music is love. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
House music has so much love in it, even still to this day. But it's not on any, like, mainstream radio.
Right. I know. I listen to house music all the time.
And it's love, right?
Right. Yeah, I love it. I was actually just listening to DJ Bam Bam the other day. And just, like, all that kind of stuff from, like, you know, back in my partying days.
And how did it make you? It was positive.
Yeah, you know.
That vibration, so I feel like a lot of that vibration is being caged in. But at the same time, if you want that, I think it'll get to a point where people are seeking out that positive vibe. They're going to seek it out because they need it. So, yeah, let the divisions, let the industry or whatever conspiracy happen. But we need to stop supporting things that are very base and mundane. And what I mean by base is like the guttural, like instinctual. We need to raise our frequency and seek out the things that we re, you know, the real good vibration, and let that define us, and not these, you know, things that are very physical in nature.
Right. Definitely. And, you know, it is interesting that you say that about what's being pushed out there, because that's actually a perspective that I've never taken on it before. Mm. You know, I always thought of it as that's what the masses want, you know?
I mean, you've lived in the hood. I mean, we own Tropical Fantasies in Arizona is what we were drinking, because that was what was made available to us. You never got coconut water.
Right. I know. Mad Dog 2020s and like a whole entire fridge. Yeah.
So, I mean, these are the things that were, that, you know, and then so then when they're made available to us by a distributor, our choices are so limited. I mean, but then at the same time, they end up defining us, because then you have people looking at people. So people look at people of color in the 90s as 40 drinking people.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's a black person. They drink 40s, but we drink, you know, IPAs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we drink craft beer. But, you know, but my, for instance, my dad, he worked in D'Agostino's, and the distributors would go directly to him and give him, like, you know, imported beers, craft beers. And my dad would always tell me, if you ever want to drink a beer, ask me. I got you. Don't drink any of that 40 stuff, because it's really bad for you. And just it's poorly, you know, poorly made, and it'll destroy you. And not that, you know, good beer won't, but, you know. Right. But anyway, like I said, you see how the 40s defined an era. It's like this cheaply made alcohol. And that's what I'm saying. A lot, you know, we have these cheaply made hip hop that gets turned over, and then it ends up defining us again. And we just have to not support that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm gonna wrap this up. But it was so nice to have you on the show, and I just wanted to know.
I'm such an old man.
No, it's
like
okay.
Back in my day.
No, I was gonna say, do you have any shout outs or anything that you want to talk about?
I don't like anybody. Nobody comes to visit me. No. So you know, shout out to everybody who was on my conference. Shout out to Damien for putting it out. Shout out to everybody who's buying the record. And shout out to everybody who's streaming the record. And that record starts to stream on the 9th. So 9/9, it starts to stream from everywhere.
All right.
Add me to your whatever. Make me your buddy on Spotify or Apple or whatever. You know, add me. Because I have a lot of beats if you guys just want to zone out. And I also have songs with words. So, you know.
Yeah.
There's that.
So the album is called What Dad Listens To, guys.
What Dad Listens To.
All right. Well, it was really nice to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me again. Yes.
Yeah. All right. I will talk to you soon.
Later, Crystal.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Are you looking for more episodes of Crystal on the Beat? We're available on all streaming platforms. Make sure you follow us. And if you like the show, give us a good review. Thanks. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to Crystal on the Beat. If you're interested in being featured on the podcast, go to nevernaired.com/submissions and submit your links for review.